We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Thomas Brown, Miami Hurricanes offensive coordinator, running backs coach. Good morning, coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
We're doing great, Thomas. And listen, man, you guys coming out in the newspaper with this, these top secret scrimmages are killing us. give us a couple of shiners, man, that looked really good, that had nice game, nice little scrimmages with a couple of weeks left before this LSU opener.
Well, you know, you got to keep on your toes, right?
Yeah. Oh no, you guys are good. We can just make stuff up, you
That's
know.
It,
exactly.
Man.
Yeah.
That works too. That works. but I would say, you know, guys just starting the scrimmage. I thought first off, the number one unit offensively looked really good. The best we've looked all camp long, as far as kind of being on the same page and moving the ball for the most part up and down the field. Had a couple hiccups here and there. Had one. One interception with the offensive unit that was kind of just a mishap as far as what the ball was going. But other than that, it was really kind of a clean night. I thought we ran the ball really well. Both Travis and DJ ran the ball well. They kind of split time. DJ took most of the reps. He had about, you know, 12 carries. Travis had around 7. But all those guys did a really good job when it came to that. But the bigger surprise has kind of been the same way all camp has been Treyon Gray. So when he come on strong and actually had 3 touchdowns in the scrimmage. Two with the number two offense, two with the number one offense, and one with the number two offense, and just really kind of put on some proper weight in the off season, and really worked itself in a great shape. I would say our starting offensive line looked really good. Those guys, those 5 guys, did a really good job for the most part in pass protection and run game wise. And Lawrence Cager continues to have a great camp. Made some big time catches kind of down the stretch.
All right, and then on top of all that, we always like to ask you about your freshman class because it was a good one. How are your 2 tight ends looking, Mallory and Jordan?
Brevin flashed a whole lot on Saturday night. Yeah, he made some highlight plays, caught the ball really well. He took every single snap with the number one offense, which says a whole lot. You know, he got to obviously wrestle in between with the number 2 and number 3 offense. But obviously he didn't have that many MAs. He had maybe 1 or 2. Kind of a little mishap in situational offense, but he has looked really, really good. And I think he's come on strong. He's probably the most mature freshman we have that's kind of game ready, you know, both physically and mentally. And Will Mallory also made some top catches as well and looks really good.
Thomas Brown, offensive coordinator of Miami Hurricanes, joining us right now. I'm going to read a quote that you had from the other day. This is more talent than we've ever had here at the university. Depth-wise, is that just it now? Like, top to bottom, you got a lot of good players?
Absolutely. You know, we got to develop those guys more and really get those young guys really caught up in the speed so they can help us as fast as possible. Obviously, we don't have a cupcake out the gate. You know, we've been playing a big-time team at LSU, and obviously those guys haven't been in that environment before. You want to try to find as much about those guys as possible before you kind of throw them in that environment. But talent-wise, it shouldn't be an issue. You know, we have depth at almost every single position. We can still sure of a few more spots, but there's definitely some competition going on.
We always ask you about the backup quarterback position. So before we get to that, I want to ask you, have you seen improvement in Malik Rozier off of last year? He played in every game last year, so obviously he got a lot of experience. What's he improved on the most?
Being consistent. And that was obviously one of the issues that we had, especially down the stretch. And not just with him, but the entire offense, which is being able to, you know, handle success. He continued to be consistent and be the same guy every single day, and he's been that in the offseason. Leadership role, also a guy being a quarterback should be in a position to be your leader, not the overall team, but definitely your overall offense. He stepped in more of that role and being more vocal and kind of getting guys going. But he's a really smart football player. He knows how to run our offense and makes really good decisions for the most part. And obviously he has the ability to be able to tuck the ball down and get some yards, whether you're running the football or extending plays when the pocket does break down.
All right, Coach, now the backup quarterback. Yeah. That's the other topic. If it's not Malik Rozier, it's, well, what else you got there? How do the young guys look?
You know, it's still been up and down with those guys, to be honest with you. Nkosi's class a lot. He's a really good football player, but rushing along, but he's just still been inconsistent too much at times. I would say out of all those guys, Jaren Williams has probably the best arm talent in the room. But obviously, he's a young dude. He's a freshman. That's the hardest spot to be able to come in and play early is playing quarterback from a freshman standpoint. But talent's not an issue with him. It's with him being able to understand our offense and learn the command of it. And Kate Wood has done some nice things, you know, throughout the camp so far. We had a couple picks on Saturday. Some were his fault, some were his fault, but obviously we got to do a better job of taking care of the football.
Is it going to be hard for you to get all these talented young freshmen going to want to play, as you know, Pope and Wiggins and the rest of them?
Right.
Are you going to be able to get them in right off the bat, or obviously you want to keep everybody happy? How do you go about that?
Obviously, you know, the new redshirt rule helps out because you can play guys in four games before you have to redshirt them. So that obviously gives you an opportunity to get some guys in the game to see what they can do. But they got to earn the right. You know, no, I don't care how talented they are. We're not giving anybody just the right to come play just because you signed with us. And you have to actually beat some guys out or earn the right for playing time. It's a privilege to be able to play here. You know, so those guys obviously have to understand that. You know, most of them are high-profile guys that have been the man for a long time, whether it's been just from park ball or high school only. And obviously in a brand new world with some better players and obviously going against our defense every day doesn't make it any easier. So we'll kind of see what happens.
Is Amon Richards all the way back? Have you seen it from all the injuries and being healthy again, that he looks like the old Amon Richards?
He looks really good. I mean, Amon's a difference maker. And like I just said, he's the old Amon, I think, is back. He still has some hiccups here and there, just kind of some maintenance stuff, but nothing too serious. He's playing well for the most part through all camp.
All right, Coach, all we do is talk about speed at the University of Miami, and over the years, speed kills and having so much on there. At that wide receiver position, like Joe just brought up a couple of the names, how fast are those wide receivers, and have you ever seen anything like it?
It's tough to compare to anything I've kind of been around, at least from a coaching standpoint, for sure. To have that much speed in one room, you know, to go from, you just mentioned Amon, obviously, you know, Jeff Thomas is super fast, Mark Hawley can run, Pope can run. I mean, all those guys can run. We have some bigger body guys who aren't just straight line burners. Even Evidence Njoku has really come on strong and made some big time catches. And that dude, like, he keeps growing every single day. I don't know what's in the Njoku gene pool. it's impressive. It's impressive.
He must be watching his brother in Cleveland,
who's
off to a great start in preseason, right? That's
He's a baller. I love that dude.
Yeah, that works for sure. Hey, I want to ask you about why this is going on. Is there a better vibe with the recruiting stuff that's kind of attached to this right now? Is this the best feedback just because you guys do kind of have things flipped around a little bit right now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, one unique thing we have at University of Miami is being able to recruit our own backyard. Not to always go beat everyone else on their own turf for players. And obviously, everybody comes to South Florida, but you know, we recruit the entire state for sure, but Dave Bryant in Palm Beach is right in our backyard, and a lot of these kids are homegrown. You know, different than some other spots that I've been, that are kind of very transit cities where kids may grow up somewhere else and then move to that city to kind of go to high school. These kids are born and raised here, their families are here, and they want to be here. And we obviously, they wanted to have a reason to stay at home when we got here. There's some ups and downs in the past, but I also think things are going pretty well for the most part recruiting-wise. The indoor obviously is a huge addition when it comes to recruiting, and obviously it shouldn't always matter to kids when it comes to deciding where they go to school, but when everyone in the country is building new stuff and developing guys in different ways, you have to obviously be able to compete with that.
Coach, I got to stay on the recruiting stuff for a second. You saw last year Lingard go out and bring a bunch of guys that he wanted, you know, talk to a lot of guys. He was one of your best recruiting tools last year. Are you seeing that a lot more now in the last couple of years, where guys that want to be in Coral Gables and they're helping the recruiting process also?
No question. I mean, every young kid that we get committed early on, we tell those guys about being leaders and we give examples like Lorenzo and Brevin. Brevin Jordan was great as well. Both those guys were always vocal, just from a social media standpoint, but also in person when they came on campus, you know, meeting with guys who were already committed, keeping them solid, and really just starting to kind of build that family atmosphere and that brotherhood early on.
Coach, through the first couple weeks here, who's been the biggest surprise for you? Obviously, you got players you know are going to be really good, but has there been one guy when you go in those coaches' meetings, go, damn, this guy came back, he's been a lot better, made a big jump? Who would that be?
I mean, the biggest one would be Treyon Gray. I mean, the guy that I obviously asked to move to fullback in January, kind of buried behind some guys in the depth chart when it came to running back wise, and always been super talented. We always knew that. We just wanted to be able to, you know, see him use his talent to the best of his ability. And he didn't complain one bit. You know, going into his last year, well, a lot of guys might complain and be upset about having to move their last year. He moved the fullback, had a really good spring, had an awesome summer, and he's definitely worked himself into the rotation, the third string running back right now. He's really battling for time, even more time behind DJ the way he's playing right now.
Man, that's see, didn't expect that
right,
one.
Right.
That was good.
And I would also say, before I cut you off, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I would also say Brevin Jordan, just because you have high expectations for guys kind of coming in early, but you never really know until they put the pads on and kind of go through it every single day. But he's been very impressive.
You know, we had this talk the other day where I was out at Dolphins camp. We were talking about, do you notice in Dade and Broward, because of the competition, those guys play against each other every week. I mean, like Central playing Northwestern or Carroll City, or you throw in Booker T. My God, you got a zillion guys that are really good players. Does that help that jump in your mind, or guys that play a national schedule like Gorman, Las Vegas? Does that help those guys get more ready faster for college?
Absolutely, because obviously in the world of recruiting, a lot of high school kids are really pampered, especially the really good ones. If they play in areas that are not like this environment or on a national recruiting, playing state, like you just mentioned, like a Bishop Gorman. Those guys kind of beat up on guys week in and week out. They don't have much competition behind them. They don't have guys on the same team that can actually beat them out or push them for playing time. And it's sometimes a culture shock for them when they get to college. They're playing against guys who are just as good, if not better, than they are. And also, you know, been in the program for a couple of years and developed physically and also know what it takes to be successful at this level. And some guys have a tough time making that transition. But when you've grown up your whole life in South Florida where there's competition all the time, and they're going to let you know about the competition, they're going to talk trash to each other the entire time, I think it makes an easy adjustment once they get here. You've obviously seen that. At least I've seen that from being here in Miami.
Coach, harder for you prepare-wise for the season to get ready for an LSU than maybe another, you know, like the Savannah State or whatever it is, a second, third game of the season? Is it easier, tougher when you're preparing for the season when you don't have one of those quote-unquote cupcake games or easier games in the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. I mean, obviously, you're playing a tougher opponent that does some different things, maybe not on normal D&D, but on third and long to kind of prepare for, but also the guys kind of get going a little bit faster when it comes to those national stage games. You got to get guys the juices flowing early on and get your team kind of in a better position, better start the season. I don't care who you play, you always harp on, you know, those guys showing up and being the same every week. But, you know, you'd be lying to yourself to say the guys don't sometimes dictate just based on the atmosphere and obviously the opponent's going to be coming up. So I think I would say it's a little bit of both.
This has been a pretty good little teaser for us, Coach. We want to thank you. Since those top secret scrimmages, nobody's seen them, but that was pretty good stuff right there.
We'll keep having some secrets for you.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Coach. We appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thomas Brown, Miami Hurricanes offensive coordinator and running backs coach, talking a little bit about his team. You know, all I wanted to hear is offensive line's getting better. I didn't care about any of the skill position players. Those tight ends are going to be really fun to watch. But you, a lot of times these guys come in hyped up, and it puts added pressure on them. They got four or five of those guys, so it's good to hear. And I think everybody's excited to see what it's going to look like as find out. LSU's probably going to have a transfer quarterback that's going to start since all the rest of the guys have left.
That's right. How many guys transferred in a 24-hour span?
Every guy that's been recruited is left at quarterback. Oh, you transfer guy's playing, I'm out.
So, only game in town, by the way. Only game in the country that night, by the way, Miami LSU.
Yeah, no. That's going to be uh-huh. – hey, listen, having it all back is going to be a blast. Hey, don't forget, man, you can always join us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We'll get more into the Miami Dolphins Friday night game full of penalties and the good and bad coming out of that game. We'll have more on that coming up here in this 7 o'clock hour. So we got that. Armando Salguero will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll check in with him with everything going on. A lot of news around college football. We'll get you caught up on some of that stuff, including Brett McMurphy, man. This Zach Smith – he can't be the former wide receiver coach for Ohio State. He can't be more of a lowlife with this stuff that's coming out than we're getting. It's just been unbelievable. We'll get you caught up on some of that stuff as well.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
560 WQM invites you to our fourth annual fantasy football draft party with NFL analyst John Clayton and CBS Sports fantasy expert Jamie Eisenberg, along with WQM personalities. Sunday, August 26th at
Twin Peaks. That's nice. Get a 560 guys in there for that party we're promoting. Jeez.
Just let me finish, please. God. Sunday, August 26th at Twin Peaks in Davie. Festivities start at 1 p.m. with a live broadcast, followed by John and Jamie doing their thing at Four Spaces Limited. So register now at WQAM.com. There are no more spots to draft your league, as that filled up quickly, but you can still come and learn a thing or two and get in the fantasy spirit with WQM, sponsored by Yingling. Tap into your inner eagle, and by Twin Peaks. Eat, drinks, and scenic views. My first draft, by the way, is the 26th that day also. That night.
Yeah. They're going to be hot this week, right? Yep, and this weekend especially, I'm guessing it'll be a big one.
Preseason game. Yeah, I told you.
See who's healthy and get a little teaser out there to everything else. By the way, before we jump on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022, I am now really screwed up on what's a legal tackle. I really feel
Ask
sorry.
Richard Sherman, he knows, right?
I feel really sorry for these defensive guys after the Texans, and all these things are out. The Texans 49ers have a play where a flyer comes down and makes a tackle and gets called for a penalty. For me personally, the Vikings-Jags tackle last second, he body slammed him a little bit going down.
Welcome to this year, Joe.
Wow. So right now the fans and there's just fan and player outrage once again for the league. Like, I honestly thought it was just helmet to helmet. When they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I got no problem. Helmet to helmet when a guy goes after a guy, and an example was the other day, Kenyon Drake's over on the sideline and the guy launches into his helmet. He's the one that got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have been both knocked out. Can you imagine getting knocked out over there on the side? The guy's got a concussion, and they call a flag on him, which is even worse.
Yeah,
he got up. They helped him on his feet and go, by the way, you got a penalty for
15
that.
15 yards for that.
But those kind, I don't have a problem with, because you can tackle lower than that. But some of these.
Very questionable. Very, very questionable.
I don't blame people are getting on the officials. Don't get on the officials. They're just doing what they think they've been told. And the sad part is the league's got too much pride to go back and go, all right, we're going to loosen it up. We might have got a little carried away on the competition committee and the rules committee. But, boy.
I don't think they can go back now, right?
No, I'm going back.
They have to just stick with it. Let it ride out through the season and just get ripped for it every single week. How many of these penalties? How about week one?
Well, the whole league came out. I think everybody in the league sent out a tweet like complaining about what the hell are you doing, man? And that just gets the fans going.
Richard Sherman came out and said it's going to be flag football soon. I'm sure he'll get a nice little letter from somebody at that point.
It's really hard. And boy, I am convinced we're going to have a lot of knee surgeries this year. I'm watching everybody just chopping guys now.
It's legal
staying away
at this point, right?
Yeah.
Better than going for the head.
We can fix knees.
Yeah. Can't fix heads. No, I think it's crazy because that's what you're trying to tell defenders to do. Don't hit that guy in the head. You got to take out a knee. It's all right. You know, we'll deal with that. That's legal.
Just really, really frustrating trying to explain it to people when they ask you. Anyway. Well, what do we got coming in, Zach, this morning?
All right, 56022, 56022, the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Here's one. I know the Finns are not showing their hand, but I can't wait to see how they use Gesicki on offense and Minkah on defense with that first team. And if they don't play, that's a tragedy. No, I think they're going to play.
Oh, they're both.
I just think they're very vanilla right now in preseason.
There's a real fine line for the coach. Now the penalties got to get cleaned up. That I don't care if it's preseason or regular season, especially when you have a history of too many. You got to get that cleaned up. That's got to get fixed. But there's a fine line between showing outside of your base offense showing things before that Tennessee game where you want to be able to throw everything out, even this week, even though they're going to put in a little game plan here tomorrow for Saturday night's game. But I will tell you the Minka Fitzpatrick, if it's two safeties, Minka Fitzpatrick needs to play with Rashad Jones back
I agree.
There. The other guy, I keep hearing about great things in practice. I ain't seeing him in the game. I'm just not seeing it. TJ McDonald, I don't see it. I mean, I hear
he does
great
get talked
practices.
Up a lot of practice, yeah.
He's a physical player. I ain't seeing it physical in the games. So, yeah, Minka Fitzpatrick's going to play. He may not hit like he's 230 pounds like McDonald, but it's about making plays in the frigging game. So he's going to play, and Gesicki's going to start. I mean, Gesicki's going to be playing all the time. I was, you know, they're in the red zone. There's some things they want to do with them. I don't think they want to show it. They did one in the first game. But there's stuff for him coming. There's going to be a lot of stuff for him coming.
We'll see a lot in practice,
I wouldn't worry about your first, second, and third-round picks are going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Basically start by the amount of snaps they take. What else you got?
All right. Krantz, the Dolphins will be picking first in next year's draft. I can't wait for Tannehill and Gase to be out of here, but don't tell Joe because he gets butthurt when you criticize Gase and Tannehill. Joe, I'm sorry for reading that. I hope you're not butthurt.
I'm not butthurt. If we're picking first, there'll be a lot of guys looking
correct.
For jobs.
Yes, I agree with that also.
No, I'm dead serious.
I know.
I can guarantee you if we're picking in the top 5 to 6 spots, maybe even up to top 10 spots, there'll be a lot of changes. There'll be a lot of changes.
Yep.
I just say this, though. Like, what has Tannehill done wrong so far? He's played almost a half of football in the last game. They're not showing stuff either. He's running basic stuff, getting a little bit there and showing stuff. And can we, before we decide we're picking first, wait till the regular season starts and not 2 preseason games? And I get everybody wants to see this super sharp, super clean, showing everything, running trick plays. Hell yeah, that's beautiful, man. But it's preseason and doesn't count.
Mm. I don't want to see that yet. Wait till the regular season before we say we're going to be 3-13 and be picking first.
Yeah, and if we're 3-13 or 4-12
or worse.
5-11, yeah. I get it. That there, you won't have to worry about what I think or anything else. There'll be changes.
Yeah, it won't be on Joe for that, and you're not butthurt, so that's good. Joe was I was watching last year's college football national championship game again last night. I hate Nick Saban, but he made the right decisions to help win that game late.
Yeah, he did.
Remember those questionable call at halftime to switch a quarterback?
He got a better throwing quarterback in there, and they won the game. I think everybody agrees, like people follow college football, that part of being a great college coach is how you recruit in the offseason.
Of course it is.
And why does anybody think like there's some guys are really good X's and O's coaches. Probably better than Nick Saban. But if you can't recruit and sell your program,
It doesn't matter.
Because your system's gonna I think the coach at Duke's one of the best coaches going offensively.
Cutcliffe, yeah. He just doesn't get the same players that Alabama gets.
He finds out Alabama's interested. He stops recruiting.
Yeah, you're done at that point.
He finds out certain schools around him are like Clemson's recruiting. All right, we're done. We're out.
It was Final Four. Is Clemson
he wants to be a doctor?
Notre Dame, Alabama, and us. Oh, so you're saying Tankersley is another busted draft pick from this regime? I still want to know which guy said Carew was such a can't miss that they used 3 picks on him. Guarantee he'll be gone. When you say this team doesn't have enough talent to make mistakes, that's the front office's fault on all these bad picks.
I don't know if they've got any really, really bad picks yet, but I thought Tankersley would take the next level. I mean, he looked like he was trying to get cut the way he played in that last one. He was terrible.
Mm.
He was terrible. And even worse is they kept throwing at him.
Well, that's
it. You know, it'd be one thing if you're like in a preseason game, you throw 1 or 2 and you go, okay, they caught it. But when they keep going back and then they have one incomplete and go right back to the same play and complete it over the top, that's
doesn't say a lot for the guy.
No,
you're getting picked on in the preseason.
Matter of fact, I'd say McTyre's moved ahead of Tankersley. If you're going by the process of I'm going by, that was the second test of four, and McTyre wins. He's ahead.
Been playing better through two games. Here we go. This is not from me, Joe, I promise. Why can't we see Petty as the number two? We already know what we have with O's and fails.
Listen, man, I'm not a...
Not from me. I did not text that.
I am not a Osweiler fan at all. Can't help it. I can have people tell me he's doing great things. I am guilty. I'm going to tell you, I am guilty of, and neither quarterback, it was hard to find time to throw in that last game. And I'm with you. I don't know how good the backups are. I don't. But the Osweiler thing, and Adam had him originally, but after that, the thing between Denver and going to Houston, what happened at Houston, between Osweiler and the coach, and then going to Cleveland and getting a little bit of a chance, although I think they pretty much already ship him out. But, hey, guys, if you impress, they're not going to get rid of you. He's gone. Goes back to Denver. They get him for one and go, you're out of here. You know, thanks. So everything that's happened to him and kind of his image has been a turnoff personally to me that I'm trying to overcome.
A lot of negatives. That's the problem. Not too many positives outside of him playing in a couple
games.
Then
he tells me he's having a great camp, yeah. And I'm like,
really?
I never heard Marino go, I'm having a great, like, you need to calm down, bro.
Yeah.
You need to calm down on your great camp.
Just go out there and play, and that's about it.
So, the thing with Petty, he has looked really good. I mean, he leaped into the thing. He's playing at the very end of
the game. The way end of the game, I know. Throw him in there with the twos, that second string, see what happens. You take Tannehill.
I don't think.
Although this week,
that.
I don't know if you're going to see it anyway.
I don't think so. No. I think he still thinks other two guys are
better.
Are better.
Okay. Just funny.
He's there. Yeah. He knows more about it than we do. So we're out of time.
Yeah, Hollywood's headlines coming up next.
Do you want to jump one more in there? If you're, in
I had one more to read.
Go ahead.
Just
no. Go ahead.
I was going to make fun of somebody. NFL scouts aren't very smart. I can't recall one Alabama defender making any impact in this league.
Ooh,
I wanted to read that because I was thinking about it.
I will tell you, they've had their share of guys that haven't been.
Yeah, you're right.
Really good players in the pros.
I'm trying to think of one Alabama defender in the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, they've had a zillion guys drafted.
No, they have. That's why I'm trying to think of one guy that's just really made a huge impact. Like, been a superstar.
On defense?
Defensively.
Huh.
I got to think about that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Off the top of my head, the answer is I don't know at this point. Offensively, different story.
One of the Ravens wasn't one of those Raven
CJ
linebackers.
CJ Mosley, isn't that him?
Is he a Alabama guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a stud. Anyway.
There it is. You answered.
Okay. He joined that studly defense of Baltimore. Speaking
I hope
of,
the next one's Minka.
And they'll be in town. So, we'll have all that stuff for you. Hollywood's headlines come out. He always gives us a quick rap when it's his segment. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, he's all over.
Coming
back home with a hangover that you have because you're out drinking all week. You better not have been chasing women, you and your married buddies in Nashville. Hope you
None
guys
of that
behave
is true,
yourself.
By the way, and you're actually late to break.
All right. Radio.com.
Radio.com. And now it's time for Hollywood's headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood. What do you got rolling for us today?
All right, Joe, let's start it off with some social media stuff here. And Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler had a little bit of an interesting exchange. Did you see the picture of Gabrielle Union that popped up?
Yeah, she looked
over
good
the
in
weekend.
That picture.
Yep,
I did.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was kind of obvious that she looked very good in that one. And Jimmy Butler went on the page and wrote, "Well, damn," with exclamation points in all caps.
Well, they're good friends, but that's kind of weird to comment on somebody else's wife. I guess they said, like, Dwayne was just, like, sent something back. He was just kind of, they were joking around.
Well, Dwayne responded, so Jimmy Butler, he just went to the last post that Butler had so he could put something on it, and Butler's post was the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then Dwayne's comment, "Put well damn in caps on my wife's photo again, and you're going to see what the good, the bad, and the ugly is like."
I like angry Dwayne.
I know, but I was just thinking this for Dwayne and everybody else. Like, if your wife puts out a hot picture and she wants a lot of followers,
you know what's going to happen.
What do you think people are going to say when you put out a sexy picture? Very professional.
I agree.
Hey, I love it. They're going to go, man, she looks great for her age.
Smoking. Like, you're going to see a lot of people write stuff like that.
She's a little bit older than D. Wade. She's 8 years, 9 years older, something like that. She looks great. Looks great, man. Doing great in her career, too.
Yeah, she is.
She's in a lot of movies.
Gabby's 45.
All right, one more Instagram story here from a real tough guy in Ndamukong Suh. The NFL posted a video of Christian McCaffrey's run on the Dolphins, which we played the highlight for.
Yeah, that would be second run of the for them. Yeah.
And so the NFL posted the video of it, and Ndamukong Suh wrote right up the gut, LOL. Mm. I guess that's where he used to play.
That's
not that anyone would have noticed anyway, because he was just here stealing money.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a lot of ball saying anything.
Yeah, he really doesn't care. Yeah. He's in L.A. He laughed at that one.
Yeah. Whatever. We'll see. Rams got a good team, though. They should be.
They have a fun team right now.
They got a lot of heat on them to be really good with that team.
Oh, yeah.
The team is built to win right now,
too. Better than last year, right? And last year, they were pretty good.
What'd they win? 12? 11?
I think they went 12-4 last year.
It's a good team.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Woody?
I'm curious where you guys come out on this issue here, because we always talk about the NFL facing different issues, and this one is a less obvious one, but still an issue nonetheless. We had fights break out during the preseason game between the Raiders and the Rams, and this was a pretty decent-sized brawl that took place in the stands. Now, we touch on stories like this, I don't know, it seems like every other week or so in the NFL. It's definitely an issue with all the drunk fans fighting, another issue that most of the other leagues don't have to deal with.
It's been going on forever. I don't know about the fans fighting forever. They go to these practice scrimmages or practices that obviously get turned up a little bit when any time. That's why, by the way, that's why these teams want to practice, right? They want to practice because the level of intensity when teams play against each other, even if it's a one-on-one or a team drill, you're going hard, right? You don't want to get embarrassed.
No, of course not.
Ego. Hey, your coach is going, hey, let's go ahead and get after it. We're only going to do this 2 days. And then other people get, but the fighting's been going on forever. And I've heard every coach say, listen, we're up here. Don't waste our time. I will kick you out of practice. I think some of the good players like getting kicked out of practice. So they don't
have
to practice. DeAndre
Hopkins got kicked out one last week. No, there it is.
Yeah. Going to be? Hopkins going to be what? A top 10 pick?
In fantasy?
Yeah.
It's close, probably. Top 12.
My guy is 6.
There you go.
There you go. Came up 6 for Mr.
Oh, that's right. Forgot that we already had that draft.
He's already got his fantasy.
Wow.
His team in.
Not a keeper league, right? So all the players are available?
No, it is a keeper league.
It is a keeper league.
Yeah, so Kareem Hunt was my keeper.
Okay.
So I was set at running back.
Look at that.
Hey, keeper, how much did it cost to get in that league?
I think that one's a $50 buy-in.
You think?
Yeah.
You don't know what it costs to get in
your
own?
No one paid, actually, yet.
Oh, God,
it's more of a pride thing than a money thing, though. The money is not really the issue.
God, you guys fly around the country for a pride thing?
You flew on that trip for pride?
Wow.
And didn't put any money in?
Wow.
We will eventually when the buy-ins do.
Man, you can't go to my draft next week. You can't go to my draft next week without either cash in hand or prepaying. You will not be allowed to draft.
I totally agree. Who wants to be the commissioner and go chasing a guy around late in the year going, hey, dude, I've seen that happen here through the years.
Oh, they asked me to be a commissioner of this league. I try to put it together, and then I realize what's going on. I have stepped back.
Oh, no, I'm good for it. Oh, no, okay, guys, I'll get it. No, and then
I'm
you forget,
guys.
And then here you are late in the year, and the pot's short by $200.
Well, how about the guy doesn't pay even, like, we got to do the payouts at the end of the year, and the guy still hasn't paid yet. You got to go chase him to pay someone else.
We've had that issue before.
Same thing happened at NBC, 50 to buy in, and there was always at least 2 ass clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Always. That either you had to beg to get the money.
Yeah.
And their teams lost early, so then all of a sudden.
Right. Yeah, they stopped
there. I ain't doing it. Hey, you don't need my money. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I think Hollywood for a couple weeks last year just forgot to do his lineup and actually won a couple of those games. He just left the same lineup in. Actually won one or two of those games. Yeah.
Are we doing a league here again?
I don't know. I can't be a commissioner because I'm not chasing money. So we got
our commissioner's gone.
Yeah.
It's another radio station.
Every
now.
Year we lose one or two guys in the league. Every year.
What else you got, man?
I mean, Big O could probably do it. He's the most knowledgeable about fantasy
don't
football.
Don't take shots at Mr. Concert. Come on, what else you got?
I know. Is he on the fantasy broadcast we got going on this
week? I know he's been on fantasy concerts right now. My man's been to more concerts. He goes to more concerts in a month I've been to in my life.
Correct. Not what even a question.
All right, guys. This is kind of a weird story here. I don't know if you remember this. We hit this, I want to say, like almost a year ago. David Payan, he's 27 years old. He was arrested and charged with aggravated harassment because he sent the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, a death threat. Do you guys remember this story? He said, if you don't let me play, I'm going to come up there and kill you with my bleeping gun.
Oh, my God.
Well, he was the guy who wanted to be in the NBA. This guy, remember, he sent that crazy email to the commissioner?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, but anyway, Silver decided he doesn't want to move forward with the case and wants to drop the charges.
Well, he's
so
nuts.
There won't be a trial here. The guy is facing a year in jail, and the good news here is this guy's back on the streets.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah.
Boy, that's dangerous.
Crazy person,
man.
Yeah,
that's not
good.
Let's
give him a couple of tickets to an NBA game, see what happens.
You know, I always tell you guys every year, those guys come off the street, want tryouts, and tell you they were great high school players. Or, you know, I just time myself in a 40, and I can run real fast. I want to try out right now. And you try to explain to them outside. They're walking around for anybody who'll talk to them. It's really scary.
It is. You're right. Wow, but this guy sent a letter.
No, that's not good.
Like, if you don't let me play, I'm going to kill somebody. Yeah, come on.
You got anything else there, Woody?
Yeah, just one more thing here, Joe. I don't know if you caught how much the University of Alabama is about to spend to put some renovations into some different facilities around their school. Did you see the number?
No.
$600 million is the number that Alabama is going to put into their stadium and a couple of different things on campus here. They have 8 different clubs or lounges that are going to be added into the stadium, a fan club lounge, a courtside club, a sideline club, a recruiting lounge,
cha-ching.
Recruiting
a north
lounge.
Field
cha-ching.
Club, a West Terrace club, a West Champions club, and a Founders Suite lounge.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Who even thinks about that? So when the recruits come in, they're going to be able to go, hey, can I get a steak? Can I get that double cheeseburger, please, while I'm here?
Just head to the recruiting lounge.
And there's going to be an entrance tunnel to their locker room that's going to have like a 360-degree like screen on it. Looks like the thing like when you're walking into Space Mountain.
Yeah. Just what Nick needs, man.
Of course.
That's just what Helicopter Man needs right there.
I'm surprised he didn't get a second helicopter.
He's got – how many schools do we figure honestly have unlimited budget for football? I'm going to throw two out right off the bat. Michigan, I mean, he's spending he's taking guys on friggin' vacations most families don't go on. Right?
They're going to Europe, right?
Yeah. So Michigan spends whatever they want.
Yep, unlimited budget.
And then, of course, Alabama has whatever they want.
How much money do they make?
You don't hear a lot about a lot of other schools, but you got to figure Ohio State's in there.
Yeah, they got to be making some money. They have to be, right?
There's 8 or 10 schools that are making stupid money.
Is that more than the Dolphins spent to do their stadium, $600 million?
It's probably
that's what they budgeted,
probably
right?
Close. Yeah. Wow. That's
crazy. I don't know if anybody actually knows. I've heard $550 million on the renovations.
People are texting in Texas A&M. Don't forget about that.
That's good ones.
Those are good ones.
Very, very good. Right. John, you can't get anything by our group.
I knew it. I was waiting.
You can't. We got some smart people out there,
that's
man.
Right.
Very
that's
smart.
Right.
We got 8 o'clock hour coming up here, too, so we got a lot more stuff that we'll be jumping on here. Stay with us for the 8 o'clock hour. Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald. We'll talk to him. He's had a lot of articles out over the last couple of days about the Miami Dolphins. Join us at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll get back. A lot of crazy stuff going on. We'll get you caught up on everything over the weekend, including my man Roger Federer lost yesterday. I don't want to be the great front runner. He lost in the final. Djokovic is playing ridiculous tennis right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.